I freely acknowledge this afternoon that I also daily, minute by minute, need the Lord to hold my hand. And I have found the Lord faithful to have His hand outstretched. And my goal and my purpose and where we have to work is keeping our hand in His, because His is going to be there. Thank the Lord for that song. I'd like to just pick right up where we left this morning. Left off this morning speaking about an ambassador is not to follow his own plan. An ambassador is not to negotiate on his own terms. He's to negotiate on the terms of the one he represents. We are living in an age, there are churches, congregations all over. Believe about anything you want, and you can go find someone that will agree with you on a lot of it. Start your own church. You notice I said your own church? The name of this congregation, at least what's on the sign, says Church of what? Church of God. That has to do with ambassadorship. It has to do with ownership. We're not here to represent our own will, our own ideas. We are living in a time, and you all may, there may be more of this later, but there are winds of change blowing in our society. And I will say that there are a lot of people, the children come home and from camp meeting and say, Dad, everybody's doing such and such. And I said, no, not everybody's doing that. It really doesn't matter what everybody else starts to do. Our call is to represent Christ. Our call is to follow His will and represent the doctrines that the Bible teaches regardless of what everybody else is doing. And one of the things about doctrine is there are some that take the approach that doctrine doesn't really matter. Just love the Lord. But Jesus taught us if we love Him, we will do what? Keep His commandments. It is a fruit of our love is obedience. Which means if we really love God and we're faithful ambassadors, we're going to continue to not only teach, but live the doctrines that the Bible teaches. Now, doctrine, the teaching of the Word of God, gives structure to the vessel that the Spirit of God wants to fill. If we do not have doctrine and we fail to teach all of the doctrines that are in the New Testament, the Spirit of the Lord cannot work as effectively in our lives individually and as a people. So when people say, well, why teach on that doctrine? Everybody sees a little bit differently and doctrine divides. The Spirit of God works most effectively in a body of people where the doctrinal structure is in order. Remember the prophet Ezekiel when he prophesied to the bones? It said the bones came together by prophecy of the Word. The bones came together. The skeleton, it gave the outline. That's what doctrine is to us as a body of people. It gives a structure, but it doesn't bring life. We can have the doctrine and not have the life of Christ within us. So the doctrine gives the structure, and then the prophet was told, prophesy again. And he prophesied the second time and breathed life into those, that life was breathed into those bones, and they got up and they walked around. Well, we can't do without the doctrine. The Spirit of God is important and vital, but the Spirit of the Lord dwells most effectively and works most effectively where the structure is there according to the Word of God. So as ambassadors, let's remember, regardless of what you children and young people, when you go to camp meeting, even among your friends and your family and people you go to service with, you come home and say, well, they're not doing that anymore. Go back and see what the will of God is. I'm not here to represent your opinions, and by God's help, I don't want to be up here representing my opinions. But to be a faithful ambassador is to say, thus saith the Word of God. We're not going to negotiate it. We're not going to water it down. We're not going to change it. But we want to continue to follow the principle of doctrine that the Word of God gives us. Amen? There's a lot of doctrinal ambiguity in the world today. A lot of doctrinal confusion and well, you say it this way and I say it this way, and everybody to their own opinion ideas, folks. There is a doctrine of truth that rises above our opinions today. Thus saith the Word of God. And when you get in situations where you're getting ready, and I'll just give an example, and I've referred to it before, but it's happened all down through the years of Christianity. You come together and say, we're going to talk about an issue and we're going to have a vote. Alright, we're going to have a vote on what's right and what's going to be our standard. Does a vote change truth? No. A vote never changed truth. Now there is a place, don't misunderstand me now, there's a place to discuss truth, there's a place where it's to have deeper understanding, but folks, regardless of how I vote or what I think about something, it still doesn't change what the Word of God said. So if everybody says, well, we're all gonna, you know, everybody's gonna lie from time to time, I mean, we all agree on that, so that's the way it is. The Bible still teaches us differently, doesn't it? We're to be a representative then, not of what everybody else says. We are representatives of the King today. And there's authority behind that. So when people ask a reason of the hope that's within you and why you live like you do, the King said. The King said. This is what the Word of God says. And it gives us a strong foundation upon which to build. Over in the book of Matthew in the 25th chapter, I know you're familiar with this passage of Scripture, and it's a little bit inverse of what our subject is. But remember when Jesus, He gave a picture of the judgment scene, and He told the sheep, He told His people, He said, enter thou in to the joy of the Lord. Because He said, when I was in prison, He said, you visited me. When I was naked, He said, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. And they said, well, Lord, when did we do this? And He said, and that's when in the end He said, as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, so ye have done it unto me. But I wonder about the one in prison. When you go visit the one in prison, why is someone in prison? I'm not talking about being falsely accused, but someone that's in prison, they're there because they did wrong. Okay? They did wrong and they got in prison. And when you come and you visit them and show love to them, who do you think they see? I need to see Jesus. Here someone took some time and came and visited me. You know, this is what the world needs. We're talking about being an ambassador for Christ. In this passage in the 25th chapter, the judgment was based on works. We are not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. But if we don't have works, where's our faith? What value is our faith if works don't come from it? He did not go visit the one in prison because they could pay him back. He didn't invite the one to dinner just because next time it's your turn. And that's all right to trade off. That's fine. But understand, He was talking about here doing for other people and serving and ministering when you're not going to get paid back. I was hungry and you fed me. And we live in a world today that we're skeptical, are you not? You see people, you all drive down here and probably today you might find some people close to the interstate with a sign wanting some food. I'm not saying you have to stop for all of them. A lot of times that money's being used for things that it ought not to be spent for. But there are plenty of avenues, safe avenues, to feed the hungry in our world today, safe ways that the hungry can be fed, that we can fulfill the commission of Christ. If you're not sure about it, there are some sure things we can do. There are people that need to be visited. There are phone calls that need to be made. There are people, there are children. Again, going back to this morning, sir, we would see Jesus. Who's going to be Jesus to me? And I look and say, well, you're hungry, but I don't want to enable you, and so I won't help you. That's not what Jesus taught. He said if they're hungry and you have the ability to feed them and you don't feed them, then we are culpable for that. We're responsible for that. So Lord, help us as we're faithful ambassadors. Remember, it has to do with our works too. I want to represent Christ in all these children, the elderly, and sometimes it's someone that's sitting right next to you in service. Who are you sitting beside? Most of you are sitting beside family, aren't you? Do you know they need to see Jesus? And sometimes it's just through the day. What can I do that they can see Jesus today? As a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother, as a child, as a brother, as a sister. What can I do that my brother or sister can actually see Jesus today? Is it the smart comments? Is it, oh, I don't like you, or why are you doing that? I'm so annoyed at you, and I don't... Are they seeing Jesus, or is there something I can do today that they can know I really love Him and I really care about Him? And when you're in trouble, you know you can depend on me. I think there's no greater testimony of siblings than to have your brother or sister as your best friend. I think that's great. I think that's wonderful, and I know it's not always that way, but I believe that it should be with every child of God that there's a place that we can see Jesus in each other. Talk about sharing, sharing and giving of our own and in sharing with our brothers and sisters, making sacrifices for our husband or for our wife that they can see Jesus. What would Jesus do? When Brother Sean prayed, and I think it's important to know as ambassadors for Christ, and we may get there in a few minutes, but there's going to be times that things don't always go well. Things don't always go well, but we can still represent Christ. We can represent here in works, we read in the 25th chapter, but let's move on to another aspect of it. Over in Philippians chapter 2, we'll turn and read. In Philippians in the second chapter, we'll begin reading with verse 3. It says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than himself." Now folks, that's doctrine. And that is an ambassador. That's Christ's example for us. What about in the dealings that we have with people? Not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to agree with you. Not everybody's going to be nice to you. But our call then is, I represent the Lord. And He said, let nothing be done. Nothing is a big word. It's like all. It's let nothing. It's the opposite of it. There's nothing be done through strife. And I think sometimes that's where we need to stop and examine our own life and situations that we face. And it may not be a pleasant situation. You know, sometimes you have to talk about things that are not pleasant. Have you ever had that? In marriage. Have you ever had some, you know, one of those sore spots? You know, a place of disagreement, and it wasn't pleasant. Neither one of you wanted to even talk about it. But yet, to work through it, you had to talk about it. But there is a way to talk about disagreeable things and talk about it agreeably. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, you can talk about problems and do it with the Spirit of Christ. That it's not done for the purpose of tit for tat, striving and quarreling, but it's done for the purpose of trying to be reconciled, coming together in common ground that you can go forward in unity. An ambassador for Christ. Represent Him even in those places of difficulty. Verse 5, He said, let this mind be in you. Talking about ambassadorship. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant. That's what a faithful ambassador will do. And you know, that's our struggle, because this doesn't come naturally. It doesn't to me. This is where the struggle is, because there are things that arise. You think, well, Brother Austin used to say it this way. He said, people just say, I want justice. I don't want vengeance. I don't want to retaliate. I just want justice. Have you ever felt that way? You don't have to answer. I'll answer for me. I have. I just want fairness. Just be fair. But you know what the Lord did? He said, you know what? Don't strive. Justice called, and what's the song say? Mercy answered. That is ambassadorship. Not going to retaliate, not going to even get what's fair, but He made Himself of no reputation. Let this mind be in you. Folks, I told someone recently, you can't go wrong with humility. Can't go wrong. You won't get your way. And I'll tell you this, you won't always be understood. And you're not going to, and things are going to seem very unfair to you. It can be in lots of situations with people. But I want to tell you, our call is to just humble ourselves. Commit it to the Lord. And He said, let this mind be in you. And I think that's where also in Romans 12, He said, be ye transformed. Romans 12, 2. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, it's not self. And I find there are times we need our minds transformed, or maybe we need it renewed. It's, Lord, I'm in a difficult spot here. And I don't feel like I'm being carnal about it, but Lord, you know. Wait. Let this mind be in you. It's like, Lord, I need some renewal. I need some renewal. Do you see what a challenge this is? That the world can look on and they can see Christ because of humility. That's the Spirit of Christ. And there are going to be times that that is not accepted. It's going to be times it's not received. But folks, this is true ambassadorship. We're representing Christ in what He taught, in what He said. It's not about seeking our own welfare, our own glory. It's not about putting out little fires. It's just about serving the Lord, letting your light shine, and leaving and committing some things into the hands of God. And we touched on last week, we read the passage, I believe, but in Matthew 5, verse 14 and 16, I know most of you could quote it, but it says, ye are the light of the world. He was talking about ambassadorship, really. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and do what with it? Put it under a bushel. But on a candlestick, right here, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all them that are in the house. And then He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see. Sir, we would see Jesus, that they may see your good works and not lift you up, but glorify the Father, which is in heaven. Not under a bushel, folks. Our call today as ambassadors is not to isolate ourselves from the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. Our commission was to go out into it and let our light shine. Well, I want to ask you children a question, you young people. When are we to let our light shine? When? All the time. When are we to be an ambassador? When am I supposed to represent Christ? And when can I just kind of be myself? What's going to happen if we all did that? See, the Lord wants to change ourselves into the image of God. We are to be a representative of Christ all the time. And when we feel like making an exception, that's called temptation. Isn't that right? That's what temptation is when I want to do it differently. I want to do it this way. And I feel that pull to conduct myself in a way that I would acknowledge is a little bit less than Christ-like. That's when the Lord is saying, be a faithful ambassador. Let your light shine all the time. At school, you go on vacation. Justin, you all on the train in New Mexico? And who comes walking? I mean, away from everybody out in the boonies in New Mexico. And who comes walking? Who rides a train anyway? I mean, you all were there, but I mean, and here comes what? Brother Brown walking down the aisle of the train. You think you're on vacation, now we can just kind of do whatever we want. None of the saints are going to see what we're doing. And along comes Brother Brown. Weren't you glad that you were doing what you should have been doing? Do you know this is why it's so important? Because our light, we're representing something. And we're to let our light shine all the time. When you children get away from mom and dad and you get out, you go to town, you get out with a group of young people and you think, I can do what I want, mom and dad aren't going to know. God is looking and you're representing the Lord. When you all go to Monarch, regardless of what all the young people are doing, the Lord's looking for some faithful ambassadors to keep the right spirit, to still live holy, even if it looks like, oh, brother so-and-so's son's doing it. That's not the point. What does the Lord want us to do? And we need to know, and sometimes we think, well, we shouldn't talk about things. Folks, this is where our young people live. You parents and grandparents, this is what they're dealing with. This is what they come home talking about. So we need to address it sometimes. It doesn't matter. We're not here to represent what they're doing. The Lord's calling for some faithful ambassadors. And the Lord said, Jesus said, will I find faith when I return? Will I find someone who's still representing me instead of acting like the world? at all times. Folks, there's a great responsibility. I think about these get-togethers, and I haven't been to one. I know what they're like. You know, these representative programs. Everybody that's an ambassador, a rep for, well, let's just say Amway. We'll keep things 20 years ago. You get to, and there's lots of lights and music, and there's the fervor, and they're trying to get everybody stirred up to go home excited to rep your product. Folks, when you walk out of these doors today with your family, with your friends, when you go back to work and school and just live life, let's remember we are representatives of the thing that the world needs the most. You're representing Christ, and you are the only Christ that some people are going to ever see. You're the only Christ that some people are going to ever see. I remember a song, actually, his brother Arl and sister Sarah sang it years and years ago. It's the first time I heard the song. You are painting a picture of Christ with your life. You're painting a picture. And that's the picture that people are going to see. What kind of picture are we painting? I'd like to go ahead and wrap this up instead of carrying it over. Ephesians chapter 6, in the 18th verse, Paul was speaking here. And he said, praying always. Let's just read verse 20. Paul was speaking. He said, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I am an ambassador in bonds. Now, can you put an ambassador in jail? Anybody know the answer to that? Can we go get the ambassador of another country and put him in jail? You can't. They've got diplomatic immunity. So when people are diplomats, they can break the law in this country, and the most we can do is send them back to their own country. But we can't put them in jail. They can kill someone, and if I'm not mistaken, and I may be a little off here, but I believe even if they kill someone, there are certain things we can't do. Even if they've broken the law, the most we can do is send them on. Diplomatic immunity, and so that's the irony of what Paul was talking about. He didn't have diplomatic immunity. Just because he was an ambassador of the Lord didn't mean everybody respected his position as an ambassador. He said, I'm an ambassador in bonds. I'm writing to you from jail. I'm in bonds. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. But do you know this morning, ambassadors for Christ are going to face difficulties. Ambassadors for Christ are going to have times, again, that they may be misunderstood. There are things that you're not always going to be respected. You're not always going to be treated right. And there's going to be persecution to true ambassadors. Listen to what Jesus said. Matthew, well, let's read John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And Jesus also taught us, he said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? Because you're an ambassador. Because you've been representing me. Folks, Jesus' name was cast out. There are going to be times in life, probably for all of us, that you do the right thing and you get falsely accused or your name's evil spoken of. Don't stop. You're here representing the King. And Jesus said the world is going to hate you. Why? Because when you're ambassador for Christ, it brings condemnation on people that don't want to live right. And that's what Jesus' life did. And he said the world's going to hate you. It ought to concern us if everybody likes us. I know that kind of hurts maybe a little bit, because I think all of us want people to like us. And maybe some of you young people and children haven't gotten there, but as you follow on to know the Lord, you're going to come to a place in life, someone is flat out not going to like you because you're doing what's right. So it's easier to just disparage you and cast you out. Jesus said, don't be disheartened from that. Don't give up. Don't say, well, I'll just cave. No, keep the right attitude to the person, love them, but yet rejoice in your spirit knowing Christ was persecuted as well. Ambassador in bonds. So don't, it's not strange. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Folks, as the world gets worse and worse, you're going to find family and friends and people you worship with and people in the world, there's going to be more and more and more opposition. So how are we going to handle that? Are we going to get stirred up and get militant about it? Is that what Jesus did? The children of it, or the disciples, when they were going to go to the village of the Samaritans, and the Samaritans said, "We don't want you." The disciples said, "Well, should we call down fire from heaven like Elias?" Remember what Jesus said? He said, "You don't know what manner of spirit you're of." He said, "I came to seek and save those that were lost." And it says they went to another village. In other words, I'm not going to push myself. I'm not going to force Christ on somebody. If they don't want it and they reject you, just quietly go somewhere else and be an ambassador. And Lord willing, down the road, maybe someone else can go to that village and represent Christ. This morning, all of us, or this afternoon, all of us have a different sphere of influence. You have people in your life that you can represent Christ to that I can't, that other people can't, and God has put them in your life that they can see Christ. And I want to encourage us to go forward, go out with courage. Even if there's some hard things and there's some rough things, and even when you want everybody to like you, it's like, why don't they like me? Don't let that discourage you from doing what's right. Just keep the right attitude and forgive and love, and Christ will bless you for it. So I will close with asking us this. Is it possible to do this? I mean, it's a high calling because we all have weaknesses. Don't we all still have things, Lord, working in our life, and don't we? So we don't need to feel like, well, I'm this perfect ambassador. No, the Lord is working with us. But John 3:30, when John the Baptist, we're going to go back to John from last week. Remember the attitude he had towards Christ? One of the things he said is, he must increase, but I must what? I must decrease. Folks, you want one of the solutions to being an ambassador for Christ, representing Him? Lord, just help me to die out to myself a little bit more. Help me not to, even if it's not fair, if it's not right, if I tried to be a friend and they reject, Lord, help me just to die out to myself a little bit more and let Christ be exalted in my life. And that means we're going to have to get down a little bit lower. In closing, Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after that ye have been, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem." And Jerusalem is home. That's home. You're going to be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. They were to be witnesses after they received what? The Holy Ghost. That's what gave them the power and the ability to go out now and rise above themselves and represent Christ. You want to be a faithful witness, folks? We can do it by God's help. We cannot do it by ourselves. I can try to imitate Christ, but if I'm doing it in my own strength, I'm going to fail. But if I can just say, Lord, I must decrease, and I need the power of your Spirit working divinely in my life, that I would manifest Christ in doctrine, in works, and in spirit. Folks, that's our commission, and the Lord will enable us to do that. So as we go out this week, let's go be ambassadors. Let's be faithful ambassadors, and the Lord will go with us. And if you are ever in a place you feel like that you're not doing anything for the Lord, and it just seems like there's greater causes out there, I want to say there's no greater cause than this right here. So when you children, young people, when you go to school, just go be an ambassador. Schoolwork is second to that. Don't say, well, I'm being an ambassador, so I don't have time for my schoolwork. No, you do your schoolwork reflecting Christ. As parents, as we go home in some of the difficulties that the parents face, Lord, help me to be an ambassador. Help me to represent Christ to my children. You brothers and sisters, go home and represent Christ in your family. Go home and represent Christ. And those of you that have family members that, and I think all of us do, that it's struggle, there's that spiritual barrier there. And that sometimes it's hard to understand the whys. We're not going to get it all figured out. But what we can do is, Lord, help me to be ambassador. Maybe I can't say anything. Maybe they reject it and I can't do anything there. But Lord, help me to show them I still love you and I care about you. So I think we all have a full-time job, and this is our calling today. So none of you are not worth anything. It's like you don't have any place to fill in the body of Christ. This is the greatest calling that all of us have, and you have a place to fill that nobody else does. From the youngest to the oldest, you have a mission to fill. So Lord, help us. Amen.